Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for these days and this time as we gather, Father. We thank You, Lord, for keeping watch over us and caring for us, Lord, over the past week. And we commit this time to You, even for those who could not be here today, those that are having to stay home to study, Lord, for the examinations, and for those that are down with the flu, and those who are down and not feeling well, Father, Brother Tian, Christopher, we ask for Your grace, Lord, be upon them. We look to You even this time, Father, no matter what comes our way. We know, Lord, You're always there for us and to help us, Lord, to see us through. For Your grace, Lord, is sufficient for each and every one of us at this day. In this time, Father, when we are going through the last part of our journey, and we know the trials of our faith, O Lord, could be very hard as you see the day of Christ's fast approaching now, closer than we have an envisioned, O Lord, for the last 30, 20, 10 years, 5 years ago. But Lord, each time we get closer, Lord, we can see, Father, the squeeze, O Lord, of the things of the world, the squeeze of politics, religions, and all that, which the world pertains to, Father, for the God of this evil world is doing all this to bring about the destruction upon the children of the living God. But Lord, we know that You have us in Your hand, and that we are saved in Your hand, and saved in Your keeping, Lord, that no one could pluck us out of Your hand. And we are thankful for this promise. Father, in Jesus' name right now, may You just be with us to open our understanding. Help us, O Lord, to remember the things You have taught us all these past years, Lord, in this time of the hour we believe in. Asking for Your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now. Turn me to the book of Thessalonians. The book of Thessalonians, we have quite a number of Bible verses to turn to today. But of the times and the seasons, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, sorry, verse 1 to 11. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travailed upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourself together, and there edify one another, even as ye do. Praise the Lord now. I just want to bring up a reminder of the things that all we have learned and how important it is for us to remember the seven steps in our journey to Canaan. Every one of us here, I believe, are looking towards completing our journey. We all have a Canaan, every one of us. And we are still on a journey. We have not finished. The race is still on. We know that no matter how difficult this journey may be, they meet with all lots of strife, a lot of tribulations and trials. But the war has been won. But there are still many battles to be fought. I hope you understand between the difference between a war and a battle. In a war, there are many, many battles. You all know that, don't you? You may lose a battle here and a battle there. But the other fact is, the war has been won. We already have gotten the victory because Christ did it for us. But there are still battles to be fought. And so, there is a Canaan for every one of us, believer here. If you know that you are born again, are looking for that place, a place of joy, a place of peace, where we have deep experience in warfare. But you know what? It costs us something in this journey. It costs us something to reach that place. You say, yes, Bergen, I'm born again. I have given up many things in this life of mine. You know, and what else is there to give? To give up. But there's still a lot of things in our life, I tell you one thing, that Christ is still not through with us. He's still dealing with us. Because in this journey, sometimes we still carry about with us the shackle of things that we hold on to, you know, the fetters in life. Like a prisoner in America, when they go out there into the road, when they get out of the prison, you know, as a group, they go out there to field to work, they're in their prison uniform, and tied to their leg or their ankle is a chain with a ball, you know. So they take the ball and a chain and go to a certain place and put that ball down, and then they'll take the pickaxe and they dig the road or dig the surrounding area, whatever the government wants them to do. So they will not be able to run off and escape, you know. So some it is true with many of us too in life. On this journey, on this pilgrimage, instead of making our life easier for us to walk on, we still carry a lot of things with us. And so we are looking at these seven steps to remind us of the importance of how to keep our life in this journey so that our journey would not be so tough. We know that every one of us have a lot of complaint. No matter what, there is always a lot of grumbling or complaining, murmuring. Don't forget, the Bible shows us a whole lot about the history of Israel. And the natural Israel is very, very... It's a type of the spiritual Israel. We are very much like natural Israel. God delivered them out of the bondage of Egyptian power and control. And when they came out, they murmur and they grumble. And for every little thing that they will grumble, they will murmur, they will complain. You know. And you know in the book of what Paul talks about in his epistle in Hebrew, you know, the children of Israel under Moses, never did really believe what God promises. You know. Yeah, they said they believe. It's just only what they say. But they didn't. And today it's the same thing with us. I'm not talking about the churches. I'm talking about us having this message that God has given us. A message that restores us to the faith. We read in the book of Jude, you know, the faith that was once restored unto the saints. Denomination they don't have that faith. We are the ones who have this faith restored to us. And many of us, and many believers, are falling away from it. You'll be surprised. And that is true. Brother Jim and I had this last almost 2 months now, being with him, you know, in the Philippines and for some time, and when he's here, having talked with him and fellowship with him. Even our journey in the Philippines, Even while he is here in the fellowship with the Brother George group, you know, and also his observation while he was ministering out there in the African, other nations around there, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Zambia, and Uganda, and all that. He and I, we share in the fellowship to see how that we have observed that there is really, you know, a lukewarmness in many believers' lives. People are falling away from the faith. Not in the sense that they reject the faith, but they fell away from the standard that the Word of God gave us. The standard. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Huh? For we all have fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible said. For I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is the standard of God's Word. It's God's Word. God's glory is His Word. We come short of that glory. We fall short of that standard. Yeah, when we talk like this, denominational preacher may say, hey, but that means that is the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we are born again, we are in His glory. So we are no longer short of that glory. Well, in a certain way, that is true. But what then is the gospel? This gospel is not just to give you salvation, and that is it. But the Bible says we are going on unto perfection. The gospel in itself is not a perfection for you and say, that's it, I'm perfect. No. The gospel is salvation, not the perfection. The word is the perfection. We are going on as Paul said, unto perfection. If we are already perfected by just being believing in the gospel, then we don't need to go on unto perfection. You see? And this is why it is so sad. Out there in the system, in the denomination, people just accept the gospel, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm happy, that's all that is to it. You know? I know the Bible said God knows those that are His. Look at Israel. Yes, they thought they always said they believe in God, they have Yahweh, they have Abraham as their father, they have Moses and the prophet and the law and all these things. But they still fall short of what God intended for them. They didn't believe. You know. And that's why the message of Brother Brandon was given to us. Well, we have a lot of people that say they believe. But they don't really believe it. They didn't. You see. And that is why we find this problem with all this mess that is going on. But for us, we are pulled out from all these things now. And people are actually being more aware in one sense or when they pull out. But those who are trapped, they don't know. They're just confused. So let us look at the seventh step to maintain our walk with the Lord. The first thing, of course, is Ephesians 4, and Ephesians 6, verse 18. Let us look at some of the verses. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The first thing, the first step about our walk with the Lord is prayer. Prayer without ceasing. Now, when we talk about prayer without ceasing, of course, it doesn't mean that you pray and then, you know, non-stop, you know, 24 hours a day, not even a time for sleeping and eating. No, it doesn't mean that. Prayer without ceasing is to say that don't forget to pray. Don't forget when you have days and need pray. When there is a time for you to rejoice, rejoice and praise God and pray. You see. We can pray while we are walking on the road and talk to the Lord. Prayer is communication. Prayer is not a one-way, you know, telling God that I have this problem and that problem and everything. Prayer is when you talk to the Lord and talk to the Lord and thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this and that. You know, for life, for peace. You know, walking down the street, you see some of the things that are happening to others and all these things, and you know, they're caught up in the things of the world. You say, thank Lord God, thank you for keeping me from all these things that are going on, you know, and opening my eyes, you know. Thank God for every little thing. In all things, give thanks, the Bible said. Let us look at some place. Let us look into Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. verse 1 to 8. And here, Jesus can speak of a parable about unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ought always to pray and not to faint. Faint means, not means fainting, it's in faint. Means don't lose heart. Don't feel frustrated just because something goes wrong. You know, always remember to pray. When things don't go right, just pray. You know. You see? And here it says, saying that there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said unto himself within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry out day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, here is a parable that Jesus talked to the Jew. Of course, the Jews are always asking for vengeance, right? And so Christ gave a parable about a judge, you know, who do not fear God. And here was a widow, you know, who came and harassed him, and, you know, says, you need to judge his case, you know, and take vengeance for me, you know, regarding what has been done, whatever the case may be. She came on pestering him. A judge doesn't fear God, doesn't fear me. He couldn't bother about the case. But this widow came on pestering him. And of course, you know, it's just the Bible said, knock. You keep on knocking, the door must open. You go in the middle of the night, knock somebody's house. The person in the home will shout at you, get lost and all these things, you know. Get out, and or else I come with a gun and will shoot you, whatever it is. You keep on knocking, no matter what, the door must open. Is that right? The Bible says, knock and it shall open. Seek and you shall find. You know, ask and it shall be given. And this is persistent. And that's what Jesus talked about, this prayer. How that men ought always to pray and not faint. To remember prayer. If God doesn't answer the first time, pray some more. You know, you need to be persistent. Well, like, you know, certain prayer, you only pray once. That's it. Leave it to the Lord. Okay? But there's certain prayer, maybe the Lord is just testing you. You just need to pray and pray and pray and pray. And knock and knock and knock until the door of heaven opens. And that is very true sometimes. You see? I remember Brother John Monk when he was, I don't know whether he said it here or not, but he was given the testimony about when he was out there in the, you know, on a trip and, you know, going from village to village, and what there was, a brother who was with him was bitten by a poisonous snake, was, you know, and was screaming, and was, and he knew that was poisonous, and the brother was, you know, was in pain, you know. And out there, when you are in the village, many places you don't have what we call doctors out there, so they use whatever herbs or everything to try to get rid of the poison. And so Brother John Mark prayed for him once, and they go to bed in the night, and in the middle of the night they came on. The brother was screaming in pain and came on calling Brother John, please pray for me again. Brother John said, I pray once and that's enough. I don't pray the same prayer twice. You know. And so in the morning when he woke up, he saw the brother out in the well, and he was okay. You know, they subside. There are certain prayer that you pray once and that's enough, and live to the Lord, you know, if you have the faith and that's it. But there are certain prayer that certain thing that matters to us, that God is testing us. Where is your patience? You know, you understand? There are certain things that you need to seek for. Maybe like a wife, or maybe for a husband. You need to look, which is, you know, pray to the Lord about certain things you're asking for. You know, say, Lord, I need a wife, or I need a husband, or whatever, you know. Or, Lord, I need a child. You know, like in the case in the Bible, Samuel's mother, you know, I don't know how many times she prayed, go to the temple and prayed to the Lord, you see, because his presence is asking for one, you know. So these are the things that we might need to remember, that we continue to pray without ceasing. We look into Daniel's life. Daniel, from the whole book of Daniel, you can read for yourself. You know, when he was, though, when the whole nation of Israel were under Nebuchadnezzar, under Babylonian control, King Nebuchadnezzar took this young man, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and all that. Alright, and put them in his palace and make them to be servants. and said, you must eat this certain, certain food in the palace. He said, no, we will eat our own normal food. You know, and just to let them realize that we don't need all this rich, kingly palace food to be healthy or to look good. You know, so it's true that they fast and they eat all this common little food that they have, and they were healthy. You know, and there was so much brilliant in their look, and their skins and all the condition were so much better. You know, and after all, you know, when somebody accuses Shagam Mishra and Manigo of being, unfaithful, and, you know, and not worshipping the idols, you know, thrown into the fire, remember? You know, and even Daniel was also falsely accused, was in prison, and he came praying to the Lord. Daniel was in the throwing the lions then. You know, he was still very serene and was continuing praying. You know, that's the spirit. In all things, we know that we leave things to the hands of the Lord, but we must be in contact with God, because prayer is one key to our Christian life. I'm not saying that you need to, get down on your knees always, you know, or go to a certain place, but if you have a certain place you go to, that's fine. You know? But if you want to be in your room and pray, pray. The thing is, prayer is a contact with God. And then you must be always conscious with God and the presence of the Lord. You know, we all sometimes get very frustrated. Yes, it is true. No doubt about it. I went through life a lot of this. But I was just thinking about my wife all these years now, you know, because of the eye problems. She gets very irritated because of the side effect of the drug. And because of that, it affects me a lot, you know, and sometimes I feel so frustrated too, you know, and I just close my eye and I just say, Lord, what am I to do, you know? And that time in my heart, I wish, okay, the Lord, you can just give me all these things, you see. But you know, when I look at the trials of the children of Israel, and the trials of Abraham, the pain that Moses have gone through for the children of Israel sick. You know, and how that the Bible talks about, you know, the husband being the head of the house should be strong. To hold the fort, so to speak. And everything goes wrong, whether it be the wife or the children, things go wrong. The head of the house should always remember to be strong. You know. It was not Sarah that was being put on trial. It was Abraham. You know that? Abraham was the one that was put in the furnace of fire to test his faith. Sarah was not a believer at all. You see, God didn't call Sarah. He called Abraham. You understand that? So how important it is when we look at the example that was given to us. This is all given for admonition. And prayer is one thing that we see in the life of the saints. They have constant communion with the Lord, whether they be in prison or not. You see? And no wonder Paul said, in everything, give thanks to the Lord. The second step in our journey, continue on, is that we must abstain from all appearance of evil, as the Bible tells us. Let us go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, if we love the things of the world, then the love of God is not there in us. Sometimes we think about us, saying, okay, we are born again. That's the reason why we need to, the question being asked, how do I know I'm born again? That's a lot of people go through life as a Christian for many years. You know. But I said this, and I told you this, that the only person that can make you realize whether you're born again or not is the Holy Spirit. Is that right? The Spirit of God witnesses in my spirit that I'm His. If you don't have this witness in your spirit that you are His, that means you don't know whether you are born again or not. You understand that? You see? Well, because there is a quickening. So if we know that we are born again, and yet the things of the world has a draw for us to where we begin to, like I said, there is, and Brother James and I, we observe that there is, the people are growing lukewarm, people are falling away, you know, and so sad. Ministers are looking for money, that's what they are looking for. All of the thing about it is, well, they want more people in their church. And they go and do certain things that were not prohibited as a minister to do, undermining other churches, other people, other believers in other churches to draw them to themselves. You see? And then, of course, we find that some brothers and sisters are not living up to the way that they should be. So we're surprised to see some sisters are putting on makeup, you know, throwing their eye, you know, what we call that, eyeliners and things like that, and, you know, bumping up their hair, cutting their hair short, and putting on, all this jewelry. Not that jewelry is anything wrong, but don't be excess. The Bible talks about in everything be moderate. You know, and some sisters are starting to wear high heel even so, even miniskirt. You know. This world is not our home, brothers and sisters. We're just passing through. And suddenly the things of the world have an attraction for us. I mean, you go down to a shopping mall and you want to buy a certain thing. You just want to buy a certain thing. So you went out there. As you're walking down to that particular shop or to that particular supermarket to buy a certain thing, here on the side, there is a little exhibition of something. Alright? And they are calling attention. A lot of people are there. You're curious when you go and have a look. It's very easy to be drawn away, isn't it? For what we intended to do. So you go there and look at all the demonstration. Yeah, yes, how good that is. And there is if the demonstrations are so good, that you say, yeah, I probably this is good, I need to buy it. How many of you ever had this experience? Some of the gadgets that they produce, you know, like making chopping vegetable look so simple. Huh? I just seen one the other day over in a do-it-yourself. Chopping carrots, chopping garlic into, you know, small pieces. You don't have to buy those, what we call electrical one anymore. It's just a small little non-electrical gadget. You just put your garlic into it, or your carrot into it, and then just and the whole thing is chopped up very fast. In just a few seconds, just turn it. It's just a, you know, plastic thing, you know. And you go, voila! I said, wow. I said, maybe I should buy one of these. I said, no, I think we should get one. That's good. But there was, but the question is that, how often do we chop garlic? Unless we are in the business, you know, whether you are selling food. You know, chop your carrot if you do cook at home a lot. You say, and you don't have to buy one that is electric. To where you go through the blender or the mincer or whatever you call that, you know. You see. And you know, people are drawn towards you and you get excited and you want to buy. We are all drawn by the things of the world with what we see. And we say, oh, that's good. We get excited. We want to buy this and that sort of thing. But there are the things, these are not bad things to say, but I'm saying about the things that's in the world that draw us to the into Hollywood style, lifestyle. To be patterned after the lifestyles of the world. You see. And don't forget, there's one great thing that we saw. We noticed one thing that is very true. Brother James, I noticed in many places we've been. The minister tend to, or even, not just minister, believers, tend to think that when they have material goods, God bless them. God is blessing them. They consider material things that they possess as a blessing of God. And that God is with them. You know? Brother James asked me, do you remember, Brother Gang, when you were down in Nairobi? Preaching in that particular church? Was supposed originally the Pentecostal church that pastors embraced the message? I said, yes. He said, that brother rejected the whole message. Because he told the congregation, he has a gift of healing. He said, because God has given this gift of healing, this is the truth. We have the truth. So he based that God is with him because of the gift. You get a point? And of course, there are people who say, I have a car, I have a nice house. You know, I have a big congregation of people. God is blessing me. Look at Benny Hinn. Is God really in that thing? He had a jet plane. Look at some of these other, Peter Popoff. Look at all these other, you know. So many of them. Is that God with them? Is material things telling you that God is blessing you? Do you know that as a Christian, we can work as hard as we can work and be rich. And we cannot say by our hard working that it is God's blessing. You understand that? Don't associate things like that, your material thing as a blessing of God and God is with you. No. Abstain yourself from such thinking. The most important thing is that blessing is not a material thing. Blessing is your relationship with God. How God make your life to shine. Is that right? You in your own small corner and I in mine, this land are shine for God. You can see one thing for sure. You can look at a man who is poor, a man who is rich. A rich man can be walling himself in sorrow, a lot of pain, a lot of stress. He has house, you know, a lot of people, rich people, they are not really happy, you know. They have all the money, but they are not happy. And here's a guy who worked from hand to mouth every day and still praise the Lord and there's no care in his life, you know, no problem in his life. Why? Because he's in contact with God. He's happy. He's contented with what he has. You know. And in this 20th century, in this end time message, we have a prophet who has set us an example in his life. Huh? Somebody will give you a new car. He say, hey, what's wrong with my old station wagon? It's still working. We don't need it. Brother James, when I went to, just before he left, when I went to, before he's been Cambodia, I went there and I went to his room. I said, bro, everything packed and things like that. I said, yeah. And I saw a big bag there, you know. Look pretty new. He says, where did you get this bag? I found it, Brother James. Somebody threw it away. I picked it up. So really? He said, yeah. And he said, the only problem with this bag is that the handle, you know, the rivet came off. And otherwise, everything was brand new. And Brother Jim says, I just took two screws and screwed it, everything is perfectly. It's completely brand new. You see, we have, in Singapore, it's a country of plenty. A little problem, throw it away. My cell phone, a little bit, oh, scratch. Throw by a new one. And I tell you one thing in this, in many of you youngsters, think about it. For the last 5 years, how many handphones have you changed? I won't be surprised at least two. Some of you. Maybe three. Because we have plenty of money. We spend. Oh, maybe the brother I'm helping the economy move. You're making the economy to move. You know, but you're just a waste. Thing can be used. Use it. You see? But this is the problem, the world. Do you know the water bottle? The plastic water bottle that we buy and all this distilled water, mineral water, actually is killing the world. It's true, it's killing the world. People are trying to make the environment, people are trying to make people aware of all these things. Why do you need this plastic water? What filtered water? What mineral water, distilled water. How come we boil the water and then buy a bottle which we can always use, instead of drinking one bottle for 80 cents and you throw the plastic away. You know. And you know, in my home, my wife is very conscious of all these things. Always have a plastic bag. All the bottle goes in, all the plastic paper, you know, goes into this bag and for recycling. And how many of us Christians are aware of this? Okay, let's help the environment somehow. Help a little bit. Recycle. You know. But that's the thing. We don't abstain from all these things that are getting a hold of us. Okay, let us look into James 4. Verse 4. You adulterer and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It doesn't mean that here adulterer and adulteress in that has to be taken totally in the natural sense. Okay? Many times a Christian committed spiritual adultery. You see? We fornicated, taking the word of God with the things of the of man and the things of the world and all these things going on. You know this aware that is going on, you remember this aware woman's group? I don't know what it stands for now, I can forget it. But you know, you want to make the woman to be aware. So to speak, you know, your rights and this and that. And I just see what happened in the saga. Well, this new group that came in, you know, from the Christian group, you know, go in because they say, oh, you know, they are promoting lesbianism, homosexuality, this gay thing, you know. So we want to fight, we want to stop that thing. But the way they move in was not right. This is a secular organization, not a religious thing. Not a Christian, it's not a Christian organization. Why don't they just organize their own and do it and fought for it? You know, they should do it more. But then this saga came about in the newspaper and all the hullabaloo. And my friend, of course, sending me the email he wrote, you know, to his friend and all this forward to me. He said, oh, this is good. You see, at least we have some Christian woman in Singapore standing for their rights. Standing for this anti, I mean, to be stand for a stand, taking a stand against gay lesbianism. It's good. And then all these other reply and they send it to me. I said, please don't send it to me. You know, later on when this person read the latest article which I wrote, of course that's his name is inside there, in initial name, but not his full name, just initial. And he said, oh, what is your stand about this? You know? Because I mentioned about it. I said, that's the way Christians behave. Self-righteous. Coming in and bombard and push. You know? And they said, what is your stand, Richard? I said, my stand is that homosexuality is wrong. Because the Bible said so. But I don't have to go out there and hammer it out at everybody. Or go to an organization there that is nothing to do with us. That's secular. Why do your church want to bring in secular? That's the reason why we have a problem. When you come to America, when you take the church and the state and combine together, you have a problem. That's why our government forbids it. The politics you have nothing to do with. You cannot bring in religion into politics. And so that is a secular organization. So you see, why do we as a church be involved in some of these things? You understand what I'm saying? There are certain things, leave it. That's nothing. The world will now, I told him, are you going to try to change the world? There are many things that you want to change. There are murderers out there, there are liars out there, there are treaty hawkers out there, there's so many things, right? You want to go and change them? Are you able to change them? You can't. You see? And a Christian, if the woman in the church, in the Christian world wanted to start a woman aware, okay, then they'll start it. But they should not go and botch in and then create all these things. See? That's what we have. A lot of people are self-righteous to push themselves into the place. You know, that's what the Pharisees did. Is that right? Jesus just preaching here, Pharisees came in and botch in. Remember that? Yes. And began to challenge Christ, question Him. You know. They are not questioning Him to find the answer. They're questioning Him to put Him in a bad spot and try to say that He is a false prophet. That Jesus, you know, they're trying to make him that he was a false prophet. But not like Nicodemus. Nicodemus came at night because he knew what Jesus had taught. And he knew that Jesus had the truth. So he came to ask and seek for some answers. Not to challenge Jesus Christ. But like the Pharisees, the rest of them is different. You know. So let us not compromise why we are where we are. We cannot take the message that we have and compromise. You know. We know what truth is today. How many of you have read the latest article that I wrote about Bible interpretation? They're interpreting sacred scriptures? Go read it on the internet. I will take the book will be printed maybe this week. I will send it out to be printed. But you know, trying to keep the balance of looking at the scripture, how it should be looked at. Now we have the revelation today because this book, the Word of God has become a new book to us. It is not based on our traditional interpretation anymore. We see it in the light because God opened up our understanding. You see? And I laid it out there. And I don't think my friend can come and challenge me. He grunts to it and come on telling me to be sure that I have scripture backing, make sure that I have the right sources, somebody who is Bible educated to be able to edit my book. I say, oh, you need somebody, I need someone who is Bible knowledgeable to edit my book. That means they are telling me that I'm not knowledgeable. I said, the one who is knowledgeable must be you. You know? And I said, my book, is there any area that there is no scripture support? All that I teach, I base it on scriptures. But we need to understand what the scripture is and blend it up in the way that it could be understood. Do you understand that? You know, while it was posted out there already on the internet, some brother overseas already wrote me and said, do you understand? Now, how different it is to look at the Bible in the light of what we have today. Not in a traditional way. Because traditional approach is that take the Bible as literal. If it's literal, make literal sense, take it. If it is three, it means three. That's it. You don't change over three. That's not what the Bible says. It's all idioms. It's all analogy. You know, your signal talking, all inside there. All different expression. But we, if you don't understand it, don't understand it. You see. So, let us go on to the faith that we have today. 2 Timothy 2.21. 2 Timothy 2.21. If a man therefore purge himself from this, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So let us extend ourselves from the evil out of the world, whether it be the, you know, don't mix, they used to say, don't mix anything that is in the world that will take us away. Don't compromise ourselves that it is okay. You know, just like some sister wear high heel, you know, 2 inch, 1 inch, a little bit, 1 inch is okay, 1 inch, okay. Actually, anything that's more than 2 inch, it must wear a platform shoe. Platform, you know what I mean? But not platform, I mean, you must have a heel, not a stiletto heel. Anything that is more than 2 inches, you're going to arch your back. So they have 2 inches, okay. Now after that 2 inches, you know, stump at the back, they begin to a stiletto. Then after that stiletto, 2 inches, become 2.5, 2.5, become 3 inches, and they think they look sexy. But their long skirt don't look good, so they raise up the skirt level to the knees. And people, and believers are doing that. You see, start to put draw liners around their eyes and things like that. That's no good. Sooner or later, by and by, you think it's okay to put on a little earring and things like that. You see, abstain myself from evil because that's what the world is trying to get at. Slowly, slowly draw you away. The third step is that we must prove all things. Prove all things. Let us go to the verse in the Bible. Let us go to Jeremiah. Some verses here. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 27. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou may know and try their way. You know, that's Jeremiah. But you know, every one of us, no matter what, we are lifted up from this world. From the world of sin. So we should be able to look at what we are looking at far better than, you know, what the people of the world can see. Okay, let us go to the next verse. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving. Proving means to trial. 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. 1 John is after 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 2 Peter, sorry. 1 John 4:1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You know, sometime when I'm down and out, really down and out, I feel very frustrated. There was one time I was so bad years ago when I preached on that message, collision with God. You enter into such a bad, you know, situation that I literally have a collision with God. You know, in a room, I had to, you know, we're talking about like Jacob wrestled with the angel. You know, I really had a collision with God, and it was such a hard time, you know. But then, you know, when I look back now, I realize that if I were to climb up the mountain, let us say that I'm now, we are lifted up. I stand on a mountain now, and I look to my left, the journey that I have made for my left. And I look to my right, the journey that is still ahead of us. Huh? So when I look at my life journey, now remember one thing, God knows every one of us. God knows them that are His. I'm not talking about the sinners, huh? Okay, God called us, we are His, He knows us. He knows what we are going through, and what we will be going through, and what we have gone through, and all this. He knows everything about us. Remember this. And we are playing a drama. We are acting out what we're supposed to act out. Remember? I told you that we are all players. Huh? In the drama of God. In all this history. His story. Christ's story. Remember? That's all about history means. His story. It's all about His story. And if it's all about His story, we are part of Him, we are playing with our story. We are also writing our own story. But the story that we are writing must be based upon the story of God. So I stand upon the mountain, I look back on the life and from the journey that I start. Oh, well, I was born, okay, I was born in Singapore, and then I have been, of course, born a sinner, and then I look back, and the day that when I became a Christian, I saw myself jumping for joy, and I found out that I was raised up on the little hill, very happy. After a year or two, I found myself backslid, and I went down a little, down the mountain, down the hill, into a little valley, you know, and messed myself up in the world, and there was darkness right there. And then after that, you know, the Lord restored me back to the joy of His salvation. I came back and I found myself climbing a little higher mountain. I mean, a higher hill. You know, a little taller, you see. And then, you know what, I was there doing all my job as in a denomination, thinking that, well, this is the denomination, this is the truth, and preaching denominational doctrine and all this. I was happy and all that, you know. Well, that was good. I was still on a mountain, a little hill, you know. Then suddenly when this message came, wow. I found myself climbing higher, you know. But while I was climbing a little higher, there was a whole lot of problems that came along with it. You know, I went through a little bit doing things that wasn't right with God, you know, having my own ideas that, you know, well, I should do what people should be doing, what they call the giants and end-time messages are doing, so I would want to follow them. So when I found myself in all this situation, but God then exposed me to the truth. And I found myself climbing higher and higher. And at a time, when I look back, I see, of course, there were times when I was high on a mountain. Sometimes I slipped down the mountainside and get myself into a little crevices, you know, and get myself entangled in a mess, a bulrush, or whatever there is, fighting with some other animals, and then God rescued me and got up on the mountain. So, when I look back in life, I see there is a lot of ups and downs, you know. So now I'm on this situation now. On this plateau that I am standing on, having seen what I've come so far, now I'm turning to look into the future. So, wow, that's still quite a way to go, you know. But what am I looking at? I'm not looking at whether I'm going down the hill, mountainside, and now I'm going to the valley again, huh? Or whether I'm going to climb higher up all the time. No, I'm not looking at this. I'm looking at the end of the whole thing. I'm looking at the final stage, where I was supposed to be. And when we look at the final stage, when I look at the final stage, I see Zion Hill. I see the glory up there. Do you understand that? I don't look up. I don't look and say, oh, whether I'm going to go down, or whether I'm going to fail in my certain battle that in life that I'm still having to go on to fight, or whether I would, how high I can climb. I'm not looking at how high I can climb. I'm looking at the end result. And if I can focus my eye on the end result, okay, I know that I will climb higher and higher. But in between climbing higher and higher, there will be time maybe I will sleep. I don't know. And of course, I don't say, maybe I will sleep, maybe I will not. I'm not going to think about that. You see. So, we are all to try and prove all things. Whether all things that we believe in, not just doctrine, prove other things, whether those things edify us, whether they are beneficial to us. Now, in this life that we have as a believer, as a body of Christ, how many of us here are, as I said, you know, putting our share, like we take communion, for example. When we come to communion, the Bible says we tell one for another, so when we can come together and partake of it. Well, we tell one for another that everyone may have a share. Huh? Have a share and share a share. Whatever you have to share, share. That's what communion is all about. Jesus has been a disciple away from all this preaching among all these thousands of people so that he could be with them. Not with all these 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000. Huh? Because not every one of these people were going to believe. But here you have his disciple and he is training his disciple. He is bringing up his disciple. He is perfecting his disciple. Maturing his disciple. So what are you so special? What are you so special? What about those out there in the system? What about those out there in organized Christianity? Doesn't God care for them? God does. Because Jesus did when he came 2,000 years ago. He preached on the hillside. He preached in a public place. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, right? He cared for them. He feed them with the fishes and loaves. Doesn't he? Didn't he? Yes, he did. But his main concern are those that are his. They are following him. He wants to mature them. That's what we are here for. That's what the message was given for, that one purpose. And I agree with Brother James very much. When he said this, many preachers have forgotten the commission of 1933. What the message was given for. You know? That's the truth. What was the message given for? I'm still getting some email here and there from those who read my on the internet about what is the message of the hour. That is true. So, this is what this was for. And if the people don't realize, they come into the message of Brother Brown, oh, that is Jesus' name, they do it. Believe the supposed it, they yes. But one God, yes. You know, some people are Daniel, yes. They think that is about it. They have no idea what God is doing next after Brother Branham, that there is a five-fold ministry that will bring the Bible into perfection. That the purpose of this message is to get a people matured. You can stand the courts of Brother Branham, that is no maturity. Maturity is when you, in your spiritual mind, are able to relate to the Word of God, prove all things, understand all those things that God wants you to know. You know, some people say, oh, brother, again, knowing all this knowledge, what does it serve? You know what knowledge for? Knowledge is power. What is knowledge for? Knowledge when you know what you are, what you know, then in a time of trial, in a time of difficulty, you know that you know how to stand. You will not be tossed to and fro with all this deception. Oh, I don't need to know. You don't need to know. That's why people are in a mess. Huh? In Africa, there are news that came to me, and I've been to a certain church preach a few times, a few of them, and some of these now, you know what? One moment they are shifting themselves to another doctrine, next moment they go to, Joseph Coleman one moment, William San Diego from Brazil, one woman who believed himself to be taking the gospel to the Jew. Okay. Joseph Gongwen is the seven virtue or the seven thunders. They will change. Then there you have Odell Fabric. Of course, Odell Fabric is gone now. So now what did they do? Like we have in Malaysia. The brother believed in Odell Fabric. Now he's no more. He shifted himself over to Joseph Coleman. That's the reason why I stay away from such people. All the years of helping them. Some of these people like that. That's it. You know the truth, but you look for money or you look for some popularity, you compromise. You don't extend yourself from all this evil. You become an adulterer. Fornicating against the word of God. And start to shift. Why? Because there's no maturity. Because there's no foundation. You're not built up upon the word of God. Why do you think Christ stayed with this child? Huh? That they may know. That they may mature themselves. That's even after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was given. Oh my! John said, now we understand what he's talking about. Yes! Destroy this temple in 3 days. Huh? I'll raise it up. They know what he was talking about then. Before that, they don't know. They were learning. You understand that? So let us remember that. There's always a counterfeit gospel, counterfeit everything. And there are spirits that go around deceiving. Sure. Huh? Right? Preacher preaching for gain, for popularity, for their own glory. Some preachers strive because they're envious of other preachers. Some are contention. You want to be contention? Have contention? Contending with the word. That's what you want. Okay. You want to say, okay, where did this story? Right? We want to talk to ask the Lord, you know, and question the Lord. Says, this is what it is. This is what it is. You talk to the Lord and find out for him, but not go and argue with somebody else out there and try to prove everything that you are smarter than them. The fourth thing is hold fast that which is good. That's like your fourth step. Now, this is a warning to every Christian. Revelation 3:3. Here is the fifth church age, or the fifth church on Sardis. Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon you. Sometimes we wonder, no wonder there are certain people who believe the message one moment, next moment, they are disappeared. They're not able to know how to watch. We always need to be watchful. The Bible always admonishes us to be watchful. Watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. And that's a very interesting thing, isn't it? Watch and pray, watch and pray. It's always watch and pray. Not just say pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray. But the Bible says watch. Watch what is unfolding. Be able to tell the truth, you know, from the counterfeit. If otherwise, you know, there are false prophets out there, false Christ up there, going out there as, you know, Satan's roaring lion, you know, in the spirit among them, seeing whom he may destroy. And if we cannot tell this, but how do you recognize a counterfeit? How do you recognize a counterfeit? Unless you know the original. If you don't know the original, you don't know what a counterfeit is. You know? Do you understand that? If you go to certain countries, they've never seen a Singapore dollar. You know, and you show them that, like a brother, one minister came the first time, he looked at our money and says, Regan, that's plain money. You just imagine that. Singapore dollar is plain money. Because our money have different colors. In America, there's only one color, all green. Huh? So when you look at our money, when I took it out, I showed, Regan, is it plain money? It looks like plain money. I said, are you kidding? This money has more value than American. You know, of course, if you don't look, you look at it, it looks like plain money. You see? So, I said, no, But how do you tell the genuine from the fake? And then you see how the $50 in Singapore people have counterfeited, make fake money using even the, what do you call it, laser machine, the color laser machine. Now they're so powerful, so good that you can actually scan the money and make it, you know, like a real $50 bill. You know, of course, nowadays there's already some kind of a code there that if you scan the money, automatically, you know, the police will know it. So we need to understand this thing, all right? To hold fast to that which is good. Second Peter now. Second Peter, chapter 1. Verse 2 to 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you to the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That beside this, giving all diligence unto your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, temperance, and not temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. And for these things be in you, and about they make you that ye shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that like this thing is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Wherefore, rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do this thing, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know that? We need to grow in grace. Because this is what God is doing for us. That should build ourselves upon these seven virtues. And we do all these things, we will not be unfruitful. We will come to knowledge of God the more and more that we do. Because that's how important it is about building ourselves in these seven virtues. And then, one of these days, as the last verse says, an entrance will be ministered unto you. And then, you know what an entrance is? Something that you're ushered in. Ushered in. So one of these days, we will enter into that place that we all long to be in. Into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and see Him. But even now, we have entered spiritually into the kingdom of God, and we have seen the kingdom of God. So remember that. So hold fast to what is important. The fifth thing is this. Colossians 1:12. Everything, whatever things happen in life, in everything, give thanks. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. And Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Good, bad, problem what we face. Leviticus 19. Leviticus chapter 19, the first, Leviticus in the front of first of Moses 5 book. Leviticus 19 verse 30. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I'm the Lord. When we come to the house of the Lord, remember we are here to give thanks. We need to reverence Him. We are not here, you know, for any other purpose like socializing. We are here to worship the Lord. So when we are in the house of the Lord, remember that we are standing in the sanctuary of God. We are standing in the presence of the Lord. Hebrews 12. And verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. which correct us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of Spirit and live? Remember that to keep, like the law given to the children of Israel, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We don't keep the Sabbath day, but we keep the Sabbath. Do you know the difference? We are not keeping the Sabbath day, but we keep the Sabbath. You know what means Sabbath? Sabbath means rest. Huh? The children of Israel must keep a day. Of every 7 day, after 6 day they work, the 7th day they rest. And they must remember to keep that day. No work allowed. But we don't have a Sabbath day. We have a Sabbath. We enter into our Sabbath, which is Jesus Christ. He is the rest. And on the first, after he rested in the grave, he resurrected on the first day. Huh? Oh, just imagine this. When we are tired, we need to sleep. Huh? When we sleep, when we have a good sleep in the morning, we wake up, we stretch ourselves. And so we are full of energy. So you know what that's all about? It's life. So we need to remember to keep the Sabbath. Remember the Lord's day. After he rested, he resurrected, and that's what life is all about. We come together on the first day of the week, having rested already the night before, we come here and rejoice in the Lord. Every day of our life is a Sabbath. We are resting in Christ. But on the first day, at least we need to remember the Lord's resurrection and to come and honor him. Remember this. So let us in everything give thanks. If you feel that you are down and out sometime, you know, so slow down a little bit. That's okay. Because, you know, as a church, have you ever seen geese fly? Or swan or whatever, you know, when they go on migration? They always go in one whole group and they go like an arrow, in the formation of an arrow, you know. Why do you know why they do that? Because of the turbulence, you know. So the one who is in front is actually taking a lot of beating, huh? But those at the back, because of the flow of the wing, they don't need so much energy. So after a certain distance, the first one will fall back, and then someone in the back or whatever will take over, you know. So they all take turn to hold the fort, you know, to keep the whole herd or swamp or what do you call that? A flock. Keep going. So they keep on going for a long distance without rest. You see. So after you tired on, okay, go back a little bit and relax a little bit, you know. But keep moving. That's how it is. Right? So in all things, give thanks. You know, as the Bible said, when somebody is happy, we be happy with them. When a person is sad, be sad with them. You know. So that is all because we care, share, we want as a group. The next one, number six. The sixth point of ours to remember now. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. You know what I mean by to quench, don't you? Huh? Quench is to extinguish. Quench the fire. Extinguish the fire. Quench not the Spirit. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. That's just a basic word. Just 3-4 words like that. Quench not the Spirit. So never ever put up the Spirit of Christ in your life. When he's speaking, listen. Right? Why was this commandment given in the first place? As Paul gave it. Quench not the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is the administrator. He is the caretaker. He is the comforter of the church, of every one of us. And he's there to help us. The Holy Spirit is not there to judge us, to dampen our spirit. Alright? He's there always to lift us up, to care for us. John 4:24. Well, we are commanded, as Jesus said, he that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we worship God in spirit and in truth. So it's all about the Holy Spirit leading in our life. Okay? And if 2 Corinthians 3:17. All right, let's read this one. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We all have freedom to worship God. We all have the freedom to express our worship in God. We are not bound by traditions or creeds or anything like that. Right? We are being led by the Holy Spirit to worship Him freely. There's nothing that binds us to where we can not express ourselves. Okay? And also Jesus prayed and said in John 16:13 that when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide us into all truth and show us things that is to come. Isn't it? So when we guide us into all truth, remember one thing for sure, He will guide us into sheepfold. Not to goat, food fit for goat. No, not at all. He guide us to sheepfold. And that's what the sixth point is all about. It's about the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, and being obedient to His leading. He controls every believer's movement, even as we see the case of Peter. When he was on a housetop praying, when a vision unfolded to him, and he was obedient to go and follow Cornelius' servant to his household and preach the gospel to them. Is that right? So we need to come God's way. And even as was Philip. Philip was preaching, and the Lord had to tell him to go back down to the desert there, because there is a man, an eunuch. We need to know the truth. So he obeyed, he won. You know. So we need to be obedient to the things that God wants us to do. You know, when I receive all these invitations from other countries, I don't usually say, oh, okay, here's an invitation, I go. I don't. I always have to bring it to prayer and see how the Lord will open up the door for me to go and guide me. Even at this time right now, you know, the brother over in Karachi said, Brother Gan, when you come, you know, end of September to October, we want you to go to a city. And give me the name of the city. It's in the north of Pakistan. And he said, there's 130 or 150 believers there. If you can, go up there and preach to them. And all of a sudden, after he sent me the email, 2 days, 3 days later, there was a fighting all in that area. And I was thinking that's not easy, because, you know, foreigners going down there, if everything is shut down or, you know, whatever happened, and being that this is a Muslim country up there in the north, this, all this Taliban fighting, it's not an easy thing to do, you know. And even right now, I think about going to the state in June because of a church there in Alabama, invited me to go. He said, well, I can come. Stay as long as you want and minister to us. You know, and I was thinking about visiting all the others too. I don't feel like traveling anymore, generally speaking. It's getting very tired to travel to all these places, you know. And especially some places that are really bad. And with America in this situation now, travel long distance, and I just don't feel like going anymore. But if the Lord wants me to go, I have to go. You know, so I'm just putting out what is necessary and waiting upon the Lord as the Lord leads. And that's one thing about this, is we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing to guide us, each and every one of us, into what He wants us to do. Amen? The last 7 point is always rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now all we have to do is keep on rejoicing. Sometimes, like Sister Nancy, sometimes she got a migraine. But one thing to overcome it is, you know, I know how painful sometimes a migraine is. Sometimes, you know, you just feel like that, there were times when I did quite silly thing. When things go right down, I just burst out laughing. So my wife said, "Well, you always laugh with no rhyme or reason. Laugh out, what do you call that term? laugh out without inappropriately, you know. Just laugh. All of a sudden, I just laugh. You know. So I think it just can release a certain laugh. So what's that to feel bad about it, you know? You see, and just laugh about the whole thing. And I like them, the African brothers in Uganda. Everything goes wrong. Ah, no problem. It's okay, brother. It's all right. No problem. So next time whatever problem comes in, no problem. So problem is not a problem. So we are the one who is actually having a problem. So rejoice evermore. Romans 12. Romans 12, 15. To 16. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit, and I think that is so true. Be not wise in your own conceit. Some people rejoice in thinking that they are smarter than others, that their idea is better, that they are wiser. Never think that. Never think that. You know. That's why I have to finally give the brother a rebuke. For he thinks himself to be wiser and smarter. You know. Challenging the word of God, challenging doctrine, challenging truth. You know, I say, it's better need to take a look at yourself. You know. I never want to debate with nobody. People ask a question, I write him a question. But if they don't want to accept it, they come and I want to know more, it's one thing. But they come and then start to criticize and run down this and that. I stop writing. Alright? I stop writing. When they come back again with a proper question, then I will answer. But over time, when some people go over beyond that, it needs a rebuke. We all need to. And I think that's what Peter is like with Jesus. You have to rebuke him. Because there's something behind Peter that made him act the way he acted. Alright? Acts 5, 41. You know what we see, of course, interesting here? That in the early church, there's a lot of problem that the apostles gone through. Alright, even Paul, Acts 5:41. And they depart from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were count worthy to suffer shame for his name. And I think that we all should. We may have someone in our family disagree with our faith, but let us rejoice. There might be some neighbor or our friend or colleague who think that we are all very funny people. Plain Janes, you know, long hair, wear long skirts, and, you know, doesn't know how to enjoy the things of the world, do rock and roll, go to disco, or have a bottle of beer or something like that, you know. Alright, they will make fun of us and all that. But anyway, rejoice. Even as Peter rejoiced when he was in prison, so did Paul when he rejoiced when he was in prison. I don't know, if one day I'm in prison, I hope that I will rejoice also. You know, John Mark and Brother Jerubal, when they were locked up by the rebels there, right there in the jungle, they locked them up, you know, and they were singing song right inside there until the guard, after a while, came and just released them. Sometimes they cannot hear that, they cannot bear the singing or something, but they let them go, you know. So I guess there's rejoice and rejoice until even as Peter was in prison, the angel came and did something for him and put the guard to sleep and let Peter walk off. Alright? 1 Peter 4, 12, 3. 1 Peter 4, 12, 3. And 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Alright? What am I looking at? Okay, but rejoice in as much as ye are partaker of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. You know, in this life, all these 7 points, pray without ceasing, abstain from all appearance of evil, reprove all things, you hold fast that which is good, and in everything give thanks. And the sixth one, we not to quench the spirit. And lastly, we rejoice forevermore. But no matter what all this be, as God put the children of Israel to bring them to the place of Canaan where they can have their joy and their rest and their everything that God promised them, there's still on the road, on the way there is always this testaments of God. the chastening of the Lord, the disciplining of God in our of our life. God demands us to have that. Or else if there is no discipline in our life, if God doesn't chastise us, then there's nothing for us. Lastly, the last verse, Psalms. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 3. And all this purpose of all these things, King David can say, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thy loving kindness is better than life. So do you think this seventh step is hard for us to follow? These are the things that we have to always remember. Because there seems to be a falling away from the faith in among many believers. They're just giving it up. But one thing I know, God knows those that are His. For those that are backsliding or grown cold in a lukewarm state, God has a way to bring them back. But it is a sad thing, of course. I remember when I was away from the Lord, back here for 2 years, it's a wasted year. Because there was nothing. It was wasted. That's why the Bible talks about redeeming the time. Make good use of our time. See? So on this journey, keep this seven step in your mind and always remember, rejoice. Rejoice. No matter what comes, the Spirit will be there to guide us. Let us just not quench the Spirit, but just rejoice and God will see us through. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your promises. And we know that we depend upon you, Father, that you will guide us. See us through in all our life journey to Canaan. Dear Lord, we see you face to face. We know, Lord, we are right now in Canaan land spiritually. But Lord, in this physical life that we live in, there is always these things of the world and the spirit of the world that are seeking, O Lord, to draw our attention from you. But we know, Father, as long as we are mindful of the present truth, of your love, of your promises, and all these steps that we need to take, we know, Father, we will see you one day, face to face. We will see our Savior and our Lord, and we will be, Father, jumping and rejoice, O Lord, for that day when the time comes. And we are thankful, Lord, for all that you are doing for us in this life. Bless every one of us today, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.